This morning I'd like to talk about the stressful times or stressful circumstances or situations that happen in our everyday life. We're going to turn up some Bible verses first, and then we'll go into the talk. But I want to find some Bible verses that relate to stress or anxiety. That will cover hopefully some of the talk this morning. Let's turn to John chapter 14, verse 27. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's turn to John 15, verses 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Let's turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 and 31. Even though the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let's turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Let's turn back to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. 'Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.' We're going to have several in Psalms. Let's go to turn over to Psalms. We'll start with verse chapter 103. Psalms chapter 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth the life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth the mouth with good things, so that the youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's turn to Psalms 100. Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter to His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Let's turn to Psalms 9. Psalms 9, verses 9 and 10. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Let's turn to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Let's turn to Psalms 46. Psalms 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, through the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Let's turn to Psalms 37. Psalms 37, verses 3 and 6. 3 through 6. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth the righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And the last one, let's turn to Psalms 34. 34, verses 17 through 19. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. This morning, I wouldn't say I chose this subject. I think it just so happened to fall on me. In today's world, it's virtually impossible to avoid stress. By show of hands, who here has suffered from a stressful situation or a circumstance? Just one, I don't need two hands. I have the last couple weeks, and I know we all have gone through stressful times and stressful situations, but the last couple weeks for myself has been a stressor. It's been very difficult. I've had a lot of things go on that are uncontrollable. It's like what Brother Bill was saying about, stress and anger. Heather said, did y'all and Bill talk today? I was like, no, we didn't talk this morning. But it does, and unfortunately, in mine, it turns to anger and yelling. And I try not to, but it overcomes us all. And, I pray about it. And it just, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. The dictionary defines stress as a physical, mental, or emotional strain or tension. That would be all four for me. Everyone suffers from stress at one time or another. Stress can cause us to do things we would not normally do or cause us to shut down completely. Anything that causes stress is called a stressor. Stress takes its toll on all of us to a varying degrees, and how we deal with it depends on large part of who we are. Stress can come from our jobs, over our health, or our family issues. We can sometimes allow stress to rule our lives. Let's turn over to Matthew. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. It is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are yet not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whither all shall we be clothed? For after all things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take the thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We stress and worry about providing for ourselves and our loved ones. We stress over money. We stress and worry about making ends meet, often living paycheck to paycheck. And sometimes we stress about maintaining our lifestyles. When we seek the world's goods, we have fallen for the deceitfulness of wealth. Let's turn over to Mark. Mark chapter 4, verse 19. Mark chapter 4, verse 19. In the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Jesus offers us a great encouragement in John chapter 14, verse 1. Let's turn there. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I'm going to go ahead and read the rest, 1 through 4. I'm going to read that again. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. We desperately need him in our lives. He is the only one who can give us the strength to cope with our troubles in our lives. Life without our Lord and Master makes coping with stress an impossible and often a debilitating task. Let's turn to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, chapter verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We are to trust his word as our ultimate guide to a stress-reduced life. Let's turn to Philippians 4. Let's turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The Lord tells us not to be anxious about anything, but rather to turn everything over to Him in prayer. I believe God uses stress to get our attention. God has created our bodies. He has designed them to send us messages. I have a problem apparently getting myself burned on the oven here recently. I don't know why, but it's happening. But if I stick my hand on the stove burner, my body will send me a message quickly and clearly. If I ignore it, I will pay the price. Some of us are hard of hearing. We ignore physical, mental, and spiritual warning signs. God wants us to tune in our ears to the messages He sends through our minds and our bodies. Everyone has priorities. Some have never chosen or experienced the right ones and need to be redefined. Others of us have long known the right priorities and merely need to rediscover them. We've tasted right priorities, but we've allowed ourselves to drift away from them. We replace fellowship with entertainment, giving with buying, and family time with the television. By abandoning the Word of God, we set ourselves up to learn a hard lesson. In essence, we do what the Israelites did. We lived in paneled houses while God's house became ruined. Let's turn to Haggai. Let's turn to Haggai chapter 1. Verse 4. Haggai chapter 1, verse 4. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? In this house lie waste. In response, God sent lack of fulfillment, disillusionment, and failure as His message, as His messenger. He withheld His blessing so His people rediscovered their priorities. We're going to stay in chapter 1. We're going to read Haggai 1, verses 5 through 11. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown so much and bring in a little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all labor of the lands. I also want to read verse 13. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. God uses stress to draw us to himself. And the things that I was talking about earlier, about the last couple of weeks, you know, you start when things, you know, things are going good, and then, you know, it's things start going bad, and you start reevaluating your life. You start looking at, you know, what have I done wrong? You know, have I not prayed enough? Have I not, you know, been nice enough? Have I not, you know, and I think that's wrong. I don't think, you know, things do happen, but I do think God is trying to get my attention. So I do a lot of praying, and it's hard. It's hard not to understand. It's hard to keep that faith when you pray. And every day it just becomes the same day. You wake up to, like what I like to call a nightmare. It just starts out 8 o'clock in the morning and don't end until you go to bed. And I know everyone has stress, and I know everyone deals with it, but it's how we deal with it. And we should deal through it with prayer and have that faith and not to lose it. God uses to draw us to himself, uses our stress to draw us to himself. It was in Jonah's darkest hour, in his most stressful circumstances, that he said, let's turn to Jonah. Let's turn over to Jonah. We're going to read 1 through 10. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. And this is what Jonah said. And said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and all thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up life from my corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee, into thy holy temple, that they observed lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. The Psalms are full of references, as we read before, and turning to God, seeking him and finding him in times of intense stress. We're going to turn just to a couple, because there's a lot of them. Let's turn to Psalms 120. Psalms 120, verse 1. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Let's turn over to Psalms 18. Psalms 18, verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. When our lives are comfortable and stress-free, Too often we withdraw from the Lord and into our own worlds of spiritual independence and isolation. Smug and self-satisfied, we forget what life is really about. But as the thirsty seek for water, those under stress often seek God. Many non-believers have come to Christ, and many believers have returned to Him in times of stress. God uses stress also to discipline us. Let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 5. We'll read verse 5 through 7. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what a son is, he is whom the father chasteneth not. Let's also turn to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verse 24. Proverbs 13, verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall bear under tribute. Oops, wrong one, I'm sorry. He that spareth the rod, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth his him chasteneth him betimes. Discipline is corrective. It is is not revengeful. God sends stress not to get back at us for doing wrong, but to deepen our dependence on Him in order to do right. God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. Let's turn back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Starting with verse 10. Verses 10 and 11. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we may might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous nevertheless afterward. It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. There are several, and I'm just going to touch on them, there are several of God's servants that I believe would have gone through some stressful circumstances. You have Daniel. He was thrown into a lion's den. I mean, could you imagine being thrown into a lion's den and having that faith to know that you're about to be eaten? Joseph, he was blamed and was punished for accusations that he did not do, and then he was sentenced to jail. And Abraham, the stress he would have had when he was commanded to kill his son. So we all go through our stressors, our stress in our lives. You know, it's like I tell my guys at work, it's not when you make a mistake, it's not what you do, it's what you do after that mistake. And I believe prayer is what is intended for us to ask for help, to ask for the guidance that we do need, that when we do fail or when we go through our stressful times, that there is someone that's listening. Finally, we need to seek His peace daily by filling our minds with His Word, lifting all things to Him in prayer. It is only by grace, mercy, and love that the stress in our lives can be managed. We will continue into our memorial service. With the singing of hymn 153. By Christ redeemed and Christ restored, we keep the memory adored, and show the death of our dear Lord until He come, until He come. Hymn 153. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. Let's turn to Romans. We'll read chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth His love toward us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received this atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they receive abundance of grace, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment come upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the disobedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's also turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, could never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book that it is written of me, to do thy will of God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offended by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He take away the first, and that he may establish the second. By the which we will be sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, for henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected for every them that are sanctified. Whereof, of the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And in their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Now turn to the account. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Call on Brother Lucas to give thanksgiving for the bread.
Almighty Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace now in remembrance of the life and sacrifice of thy Son as emblemized in this bread. And we see that, remember a life lived in accordance to thee, untainted by personal transgression, yet tempted and tried as we all are. And as we remember his sacrifice and his success in this regard, we pray that we would be strengthened to follow his example, that we would manifest him and glorify thee as we await thy Son's return. And we pray that this day would be even today, and with thy grace and mercy our sins would be forgiven and we might be found acceptable to serve in that kingdom age. Please watch over us and strengthen us unto this end. We pray for these things through the mediation of thy Son, our high priest and long-awaited King, even Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Call on Brother Paul to give thanksgiving for the wine.
Heavenly Father, we bow before thee at this time, recognizing thy greatness and our lowness. We come before thee with our heads and hearts bowed low, thanking thee for this opportunity that we have to remember the sacrifice of thy dear Son, with thy holy angels above us, watching and keeping record. And we pray, Heavenly Father, at this time that in our hearts and our minds have been filled with thy words of truth, and that we come to this table with a clear conscience, recognizing the significance of this commandment that we are to follow. We thank thee for thy love, for our calling, that we have this opportunity to remember thy Son, who gave his life for us. He laid it down with evil men, torturing. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that as we go about our lives and as we suffer, that we too will always turn to thee. For we know that it is written, We ask, Heavenly Father, for thy blessings on this cup of wine. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that we too may be willing participants, that we will be obedient in all that we do, think, and say, that it will all bring glory to thy name. Forgive us for our sins, knowing that we fail thee often, and pray for thy blessings upon this cup of wine, which is symbolic of his shed blood, and shed for many for the remission of sins. We ask for all these things through our Savior, and Jesus the Christ. Amen.
We will close with the singing of hymn number 64. Lord, dismiss us with thy blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us each, the true possessing, bear its fruits and run the race. Hymn number 64. We'll get Brother Bill to close with a word of prayer.